Amen. Perhaps we could turn to John chapter 14. Let's pray together. Lord, we do just delight in you today. We thank you for the blessings of today, of the meeting so far, the sense of your presence. And how we delight in you, O God. How richly you have blessed us. Above all, bless us with yourself, with your presence. And we just learn for a deeper understanding of you, your character, your love for us, your goodness to us. And we pray that you would open up the words now in a tremendous way to bring clarity into our hearts and minds and lives, and comfort and encouragement. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. I'd like us to read from Mark's Gospel. Mark, and chapter 4. Beginning to read from verse 35. Mark 4, from verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, to the disciples, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Sometimes we can feel like the disciples did in that situation, when all the storm was raging around them, and they came into a place of doubt. But the thing I want to bring out is the problem in their hearts. They had gone in the ship. The Lord had ordained that they would get into the ship and go out on the water. The Lord knew exactly what was going to happen. And yet, in the middle of the situation, even though they had been obedient to the Lord, things start to go wrong, it seems. And there's a storm raging around them. Now, in the midst of that storm, they come into a place where they are fearful. And that may be true of us today. We feel there's a storm going on around us, maybe different situations in our lives, and we feel there's a storm. Now, the question is, how do we respond to this? How do we respond to the storm? Now, as we see, the disciples come to Jesus, and they say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arises and he rebukes the wind and the wave and says, Peace be still. And it all goes quiet. But Jesus says to them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, very often when we think about this story, and we think the fact that they had no faith. Now, what was the crux of the fact that they had no faith? Now, very often that we think that the area of lack of faith was that he couldn't do it, that he couldn't change the situation. They had doubt as to whether Jesus had the power to change the situation. But I don't think that that was what he meant when he said, "Do you have? How is it that you have no faith?" I believe that the point that Jesus was getting at was that they thought that he didn't care for them. You see, they come to him and say, "Master, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care about us?" And Jesus then says, "Why are you so afraid? Why is it that you don't trust in me?" And it can be in our lives when things start to become difficult and things start to go wrong. We don't necessarily lack the faith that God is able to help us in our situation, and that God has the power to do it. But what we lack very often is the idea that God really cares about us. And so when Jesus is saying, "How is it that you have no faith?" really he's saying, "Why is it that you do not trust me?" You see, the word faith, it just means trust. And so when he's challenging them, they say, "You know, you've spent time with me. Why don't you just trust me?" And when things go wrong in our lives, sometimes things will go wrong because of sin. And we need to know that we are right with God. If something is going wrong in our lives, we need to check that we're right with God and that the thing is not going wrong because God has allowed it in order to correct us. But sometimes when things look difficult, we are filled with doubt as to whether the Lord really cares about us. And it, rather than simply going to God and saying, "Lord, will you help me in this situation? There's a difficulty, there's a storm. I trust you, but will you bring a solution?" Sometimes we don't go to him, and yet we simply say, "The Lord doesn't care about me." And we're in a position where we doubt whether God really cares about us. And so the disciples had that opportunity where they could have gone straight to the Lord and say, "Lord, will you do something about me, the wind and the waves?" But instead they say to the Lord, do not care that we are perishing. Do not care about us. And I want to look mainly at the passage from John 14 to bring this out, maybe something in the life of Thomas. Jesus has just warned the disciples in the previous chapter about the difficulties that they're going to face. He's warned Peter that he's going to deny him. And then we come into chapter 14, and he gives them words of comfort. And really in this chapter, Jesus is showing them how much he cares for them. And that's really the point of this first part. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And really again, we need to say where he says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He's saying, you trust in God. I want you to trust in me, really to trust me. So that whatever circumstance you find yourself in your life, that you're trusting me as you go through it. You're really trusting me that I am your good shepherd. I am the one who's caring for you. I'm the one who's looking after you. And so he says, you believe in God. That is to say, you believe in God who is there. He's a person, but perhaps he seems a little bit abstract, a little bit impersonal to you. But now he says, believe also, or believe even in me. Believe even in me. Trust me. And then he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. The wonderful thing about this, where he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, is he's talking about a multitude of individual places for people to be in. He did not say that in my Father's house is a great space, but he says, in my Father's house are many individual places for you to dwell. In other words, each one of you has an individual place, an individual space reserved for you in my Father's house. Now, the reason why this is important is because it shows to us the tremendous care that the Lord has for us as individuals. Inasmuch as he sees us as individuals, he knows our individual needs. And when he talks about preparing a place for us, he's not doing it in a general sense, but he's doing it for us in a specific sense. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." And he's really trying to help them to see that he's got everything under control. He knows the future. He knows just what's going to go on in their lives. And he has it in hand. He is the one. The Lord Jesus is the one who has it in hand. And so this is why he's saying, "I go to prepare a place for you." You see, he's saying, "I am doing it. I am Jesus. I am God. I am the one who is all sufficient. And I've got the whole of your lives in hand. And I am going to prepare a place for you." And so he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be worried. You trust in God, just trust me, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." I've got the future in hand, and I wonder this morning, do we need to know in our hearts that God has the future in hand for our lives? And then he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so he says, yes, I'm going to prepare a place, but I will come again. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. But I will come again, and you will see me again, that we might continue that fellowship, the fellowship that you've got now, that will continue to be a time of fellowship in the future. And he says, "And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know." He's trying to get them to understand that the whole of their lives is in his hand. That they've got really nothing to worry about if they will simply trust in him. As he said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." If they simply trust in him, then everything is going to be all right. But here we come to the crux of it, where Thomas says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know them?" In spite of everything that Jesus has said to him, that he's just got to trust him, just trust Jesus, Thomas is still, as it were, looking for something else. There's got to be something else, Thomas is saying. Yes, you said you're the one who's leading, you're the one who's preparing the way for us. But Thomas is, as it were, looking for something else. And Jesus, again, tries to make clear, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in a sense, he's saying, look, if you're trusting me, you can find everything that you need in me. I am the one who's preparing the way for you, preparing the future for you. I've got the whole thing in hand. So if you've got me, you've got the way, you've got the truth, you've got the life. And so often, in our lives, in that time of doubt, in that time of difficulty, where instead of simply going to Jesus and trusting Jesus and saying, "If I've got you, I've got everything I need financially, materially, physically, spiritually, everything for the future," we start to go to God and say, "Well, I know I've got you, but I need something else. I need something else." And Jesus is saying, "It's all found in me. Everything you need. And if you will simply come to me and abide in me, you will have everything you need. Not just for now, but for the future." Jesus is making it very clear that as he is there, present with them at that moment, so the future is in his hands as well. And we may be very concerned about the future. It may be the most important thing in our lives. We think, what is going to happen in the future? But we don't need to know what's going to happen in the future. All that we need to know is that our hand is in the hand of Jesus, and he will get us to where we need to be. And in many senses, as soon as we start to worry about the future, as soon as we start to doubt the Lord as to the future, we're starting to look for something other than Jesus. Now the Lord himself wants us to be content simply with himself. And the whole point of abiding in Jesus is to know now that he is all I need. Not the knowledge of the future, not a revelation of this is how my life is going to span out, but just to know Jesus in the present. So Thomas here in his position of doubt says, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way for ourselves, the path to take. Jesus says, it's just me. Just follow me, just be content with me and I will take care of everything. He says, if he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. And as he began by saying, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying here the fullness of the Father. We know that God, the name of God is Yahweh, which means, as it were, I am that I am the all-sufficient one. Jesus is now saying, if you know me, you should know my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And he's saying that really I am just as sufficient for you. Because I am God, you've known the Father to be sufficient. I am your sufficiency because I am also God. And again, Philip says to him, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he that doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So again, he's reiterating that just as God the Father is there as your sufficiency, you say, I am also God, I am your sufficiency. And you can place every burden that you have into my hands. And I wonder today, are we placing every burden into the Lord's hands? We have placed our future life in his hands, and we say, yes, Jesus is my sufficiency, he is my righteousness. I know that after I die, I will go to be with God forever, and we've trusted him for that. As it were, that burden has been cast upon the Lord. But I wonder today, have we cast every burden? Everything else that's worrying us right now, have we cast that upon the Lord and saying, you are my sufficiency in this situation and I need nothing other than you within the situation I find myself? Nothing need trouble us if we have the Lord Jesus and him alone. We move forward to John chapter 20. You see, in a sense, Jesus was preparing the disciples for what was going to come later. He was saying that he would go away, he would prepare a place for them. He's warning them of something of the cross. And here in John 14, teaching Thomas and preparing his heart for what's going to be for them a very difficult time, a time where they're likely to doubt, when Jesus is crucified, when they see their master there hung up on a cross for them, and everything appears to have gone wrong. And will they be able to be carried through that time of testing? And we know that Jesus appears to the other disciples on one occasion, and Thomas isn't there. But in John chapter 20 from verse 24, it speaks about Thomas. It says, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. You see, the problem here really with Thomas was the same problem that he had on the previous occasion. Not so much that he doubted the power of God. He had seen many times the Lord Jesus work miracles. Lazarus raised from the dead. Tremendous things happening. And here in this occasion, I don't believe really the heart of Thomas's trouble was the power of God. That I believe the heart of his trouble was really the care of the Lord for him. And he's doubting that it could really be true. It could really be true that such a wonderful thing could happen. Maybe such a wonderful thing could happen for him, that the Lord should be raised from the dead. And so here is Thomas in a situation again as to doubt. Even though on the previous occasion the Lord Jesus has made it clear, he says, I will come again to you. I've prepared the future. Everything is in hand. All you need to do is to trust me. And yet here is Thomas again. When the next difficulty comes, when the next test comes, he doubts and says, is the Lord really true to his word? Does he really care about me? When he spoke those words back then, was he really, will he really be faithful to his promise? And we may be today question, is, and in our hearts are saying, will God really be faithful to his promise? The one who has promised to keep us, the one who has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. We may be asking in our hearts today, is the Lord really faithful to his promise? And so here, Jesus appears to Thomas. And he says, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And I believe the heart of what Jesus was trying to communicate to Thomas was his real care for him, his real love for him. And by showing him the wounds from the crucifixion, he was really saying to him again, this is how much I care for you. This is how much I love you. And if I was willing to go to the cross for you, don't you know that in every circumstance of your life, I really care for you? If I've cared so much about you that I would hang on a cross and suffer for you, don't you think that I care for the tiny items in your life? The things that you think are maybe even too small for me to care about. So he says, look, this is how much I care for you. Look at my hands. Look at them, Thomas. This is how much I really care for you. And this is the response that Thomas has. And he says, my Lord and my God. You see, Thomas has walked with the Lord Jesus for some time. And during that time, Jesus has been his Lord. Thomas has been obedient to him and sought to be faithful to him. But the difference comes here. He says, you're not only my Lord, but now I see that you're my God as well. You're the one who's going to be faithful in every situation in my life. You're the one that I can trust. You are the great Yahweh. You are the great God who created everything. And because of that, I can see that I can trust you for every small circumstance that I'm going through. I can trust you for my future. I can trust you for eternity. I can trust you now for everything that is going to come against me. I wonder, are we in that situation this morning? Where in a sense we've just given up. We've just given up worrying and able to say to the Lord, I'm no longer going to try thinking about everything, trying to work everything out. But I know that I can trust you. You are the one that I trust for everything. I trust you completely. And I'm not going to focus on the nitty-gritty of life. I'm not going to focus on the details and try and work it all out. But I will trust you. And really the heart of what we need to do this morning is to know the Lord. Really to know the Lord. It says in Daniel, the people that do know their God shall do exploits. And it's when we're in that position where we really know the heart of God, one who trusts us, who cares for us, one who we can trust completely, that we have the boldness to go out and serve Him, the strength to go out and to speak to people about Him, the strength to go out and love, because we're not overwhelmed with worry all the time. We're not sitting at home thinking, what about this? What about that? What about money? What about the future? But we can go out into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe this was part of what the apostles had as they went out into all the world. They weren't worrying about, as it were, things back home. They weren't worrying about money and things like that. But they could go out fearlessly preaching the gospel because they knew that the Lord was taking care about that. So much of the teaching of the Lord Jesus was concerning not worrying about the things of this life. He says in Matthew chapter 6, I say unto you, take no thought for your life that what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? He's saying that real life is not worrying about these things. Real life is going out and doing something. Real life is a communion with God. Real life is preaching the gospel. And if you are spending your time where you are caught up worrying about the things of today, the money, the material things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, you're missing out on real life. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And I wonder, as the birds simply get on with it, not worrying about the future, in a sense, allowing the Lord just to look after them. And yet us, in our position, so much better than the dumb birds, and yet we worry and say, well, does the Lord really care about me? Is He really going to provide for my future? Is He really going to provide everything that I need? And the Lord would just say to us, will we just trust Him? Put our hand in His hand and allow Him to lead us. One last thought from Matthew and chapter 8. Here again, it's a situation where someone is in a place of difficulty and he believes in the power of God, but the one thing that he fails really to believe is whether Jesus cares about him. And Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You see, the man says, If you want to, Lord, I know that you can heal me. He believed that God, that Jesus had the power to heal him. But the one doubt that was in the mind of the leper was whether Jesus really wanted to. He said, if you will, you can. And Jesus says, I am willing. I do love you. I do care about you. I care about your situation. And sometimes perhaps we're just holding back, maybe from asking the Lord for healing or some other thing in our lives, because we don't believe that He really, really cares about us and wants to deliver us from the illness, whatever the problem is that we have. But Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. In every circumstance of our lives, from the smallest to the greatest, if we can but grasp hold of the character of God, of the character of the Lord Jesus, of one who is wholly sufficient, one who is so vast, every concern that we have for our day-to-day difficulties, they pass into insignificance in the light of the greatness of God. I wonder if we will be true to what we really believe, what we say that we believe, in saying that we believe in a God who is omnipotent, a one who is all-loving, one who is so great, and one who is so tender. I wonder, do we enact that in our daily life? And say, yes, Lord, you have led me thus far. I know my eternal situation is in your hands. And so I will trust you even in the smallest details, even in these worries, even in these burdens. I know that I can cast all my care upon you because you care for me. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, you are the one who cares for us, that you know as individuals in all the circumstances of life, all the ups and downs, every difficulty we face. We thank you that you are not untouched by the feelings of our infirmities, but you were in all points tested as we, yet without sin. We thank you, Lord, that you know what we are going through, and you care about us, and that you are just waiting for us to go to you. Oh Lord, we worship you for such a God as you are. May we be mindful of your character, mindful of your love, mindful of your care for us. Lord, that we might just be resting in you with all our hearts. Bring us through to that place of real rest and real trust, where we can say that you are Yahweh in our experience. You are the one in whom we can place all our trust and have no concerns for our lives, but go out into the world faithfully speaking of you from a position of rest and a position of joy. Make all these things real to us in our lives, we pray now, in the name of Jesus.
Perhaps we sing 480 in Redemption Hymnal. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all.